Hi everybody, it's Ed, My Figure Universe, and this week on Boosting the Signal, my guest is Sean Von Gorman. You may know him from comic books. He is one of the co-creators of the Pedestrian comic book along with Joey Esposito. As well, he has been a variant cover artist on various Star Trek comic books from IDW, as well as so many other things, and we're going to talk about that this week on Boosting the Signal. I hope you enjoy this week's episode, and thank you for watching and listening.
Hey everybody, this is Ed, My Figure Universe, and this week I have Sean Von Gorman from comics with me, creator, along with Joey Esposito for The Pedestrian, one of my all-time favorite comics. Please. Sean, welcome. How's it going?
Just another day in paradise, living the dream. Everything in the world is okay. There's nothing to worry about ever. Everyone's being treated the same, and we're living in Gene Roddenberry's vision of the future.
That is a perfect day. I mean, look at that. Blue skies. I'm really excited to talk to you about a couple of different things. A couple of questions I wanted to ask right off the bat. Lawrence Brothers.
Yeah.
I got to ask you about the Lawrence Brothers. This is a big thing that's going on right now. I'm excited about this. Can you tell us some more about this Lawrence Brothers project you got going on?
Yeah, so we're doing a book called The Lawrence Brothers Detective Agency. That is a co-creation between the Lawrence Brothers, their manager, Brian Duran, the Berkowitz Brothers, and me. And this sort of came about, probably towards the end of last year. The Pedestrian, the single issues were out around the same time that the Berkowitz brothers were doing a book called The Writer with Josh Gad. So we were kind of like in solicitations at the same time. So we kind of became friendly on social media. And then they pitched me this project involving the Lawrence brothers, where it would be the real life Lawrence brothers sort of doing a adventure series where they invariably put together a detective agency. And just something about the words Lawrence Brothers Detective Agency really stuck with me and kind of haunted me for a couple of months. And until I put together some art of a cover where it's kind of them holding a milk carton, asking the question, "Have you seen these boys?" with a picture of them in their younger selves with their adult versions holding it. And I was like, if this is the tone that you're looking for, then I'm in. And then comics took a little bit of a hiccup. The publisher they had fell through. So they came to me to shop it for a while. So we shopped around comics for a while and finally landed on Z2. And we just funded a Kickstarter for a little over $50,000 to raise the funds we need to make the book. So we're all ready to go. And we finally all met each other at San Diego a couple of weeks ago. They're all lovely. We had a big panel at San Diego. We did some signings at the Z2 booth, and they've been absolutely wonderful. And I'm looking forward to this project.
Everything looks amazing. The footage I've seen coming out of San Diego Comic Con looked great. All of the preview pictures that you've been sharing of the comic look amazing. The book itself. Really looking forward to checking that out. I'll be honest with you, like I'd seen your work without knowing that I was ever seeing your work. You know, I'd pick up Star Trek comics individually and I'd say, oh, okay, I love this cover. But it wasn't until about a year ago that I discovered who was making certain covers. It occurred to me, like, I'm loving certain issues and I would pick up certain issues over others because of the artwork. And so then when I heard about the Pedestrian, I was like, I got to get this. I got to know more. And I wanted to be on the ground floor, which luckily I was. I'm very happy about that. How long have you been doing this? I'm sorry, what's that?
No longer cool to jump on the bandwagon anymore.
Oh, yeah. I was like, come on, be where all the cool kids are. Pardon me. But how long have you been doing, and how did you get into Star Trek comics? Like the... I should specify, doing the covers.
Yeah, I'm a Trek approved comic illustrator, which was huge. I'm a long time Star Trek fan, probably third generation. My grandpa and watched it with my mom growing up. I grew up in the sweet spot of like 91, 92, right at the height of TNG with the action figures. So I was like right there to have Playmates throw out TNG action figures and have those commercials come out. It's like, yeah, we gotta get our phasers and our transporter sets.
Yeah, they don't make them like that anymore, that's for sure.
On a side note, I always love that, like, you know, Playmates, who made billions of dollars on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle franchise, marketed TNG toys the same way. It was the same format of branding. Here's your guy, here's their things, and here's all the other things on there. So if you look at the backs of these toy lines, they were very similar and marketed the same way, which I loved.
It really showed that they cared about everything equally. And, you know, whoever was running the business at that point, I appreciate what they did because they were doing a good job, with the exception of the Generations figures. But they were doing a good job. And I love the cross promotion between Turtles and Star Trek.
I mean, it wasn't their fault. They had these character designs for Generations that they were going through and started shooting with. And so they that's all the information they had. And then at the last minute, they just changed. They're like, oh, you know what? These DS9 costumes look pretty good. Let's just use these.
It definitely makes for an interesting piece of action figure history. And something that people are constantly like, oh, we have to know more. Well, it's out there. You'll find it.
We were actually pitching the Pedestrian around. We were shopping that around. And we were talking to IDW about that one, and we were having a meeting with Heather Antos, who is an old friend of many years, who's simply the best. And we're talking about the Pedestrian, and at the end of that call, she goes, by the way, I'm doing Star Trek comics now. And up until pretty recently, I've been very closeted with my Star Trek fandom of, like, growing up in high school. This was something that was kind of frowned upon, so it's not something I would feel really comfortable talking about at the time, but like a white wave sort of like washed over me for a second. And it was like, kind of like that scene in Saving Private Ryan where like you hear like a little whining in the background and like you can't really see too much of what just happened. And it was like, you have no idea what you just done. So we have to have a separate conversation about this. And then Heather was just not aware. I was such a huge Star Trek fan. I was like, I'd love to do some samples. I put together, you know, a dense sample packet of, you know, here's some hero shots, here's character designs, and here's some weird ones. I think the weirdest one I had was what I was calling like Will Riker's album cover, where it's like him on Alien Planet holding a trombone, doing the Riker on a rock, and like Beverly's just sort of like off in the distance. And yeah, and then eventually I got approved and I was given my first assignment, which was for a variant cover for Picard Stargazer number 3, which was the last issue of that series. So I got my shot to do, you know, out the gate, got to do Picard. And it's something, in my experience, of when I get the opportunity to do a licensed project, I only get to do it one time and they never ask me to do it again.
Oh.
So I wanted this to be something timeless. If this was my one shot at doing something, this was going to be the thing I was going to do. And I was very proud of that work. And thankfully, they have kept asking me to do things. I think I'm up to like my 8th or 9th cover for them right now. I'm doing a variant of The Last Starship that's the New York Comic Con exclusive that's going to be available at the IDW booth at New York Comic Con this year. I'll be set up at H7. And I just announced a 50-50 split exclusive with Black Cat Comics for Star Trek Strange New Worlds Seeds of Destruction number 1, which just released this week.
And that was would you like, I already know it. I've seen it. I love it. This is Spock with a spork, right?
Spock the spork. It is something that I've enjoyed. I think it dates back to even some of my earliest pitch packets. I think right after Strange New Worlds came out, I was like, I gotta get on. I gotta do something with Strange New Worlds. This is great. It kind of like it tickled everything I loved about Star Trek. I mean, Discovery and Picard were solid shows, but it took some work to really appreciate those. They really made you work for what you're looking for in Star Trek. It's like, hey, we're gonna do our show. Don't worry, we're gonna get you the stuff you like, but we're gonna do this stuff first, and then we'll give you a little bit of the stuff you like. But Strange New Worlds was immediately, boom, this is a Star Trek show. I'm excited. I get this. Let's go. And yeah, and just something about, I don't know where the idea came from, but just Spock just on an alien planet contemplating a spork, something I was very happy with the piece. I think I have it. Yeah, I still have the original art here. The art just sold. I'm waiting on my copies of the cover
I like it.
to go out, but this is going to go into the vast collection of Mark Martinez, who has a sizable Trek art collection. And yeah, and so a couple of years passed by. I got to do one variant cover that was another store. Actually, no, I got an opportunity to do the cover, a variant cover for issue 5 of the last Strange New Worlds series, the Scorpius run. But it was
Okay.
something that, it was kind of like a villain shot. I got to get the Enterprise in there. But I had this idea for another one that was sort of like a tribute to the George Perez Star Trek art of the early 80s. I thought that concept of that Star Trek number 1 with the Strange New Worlds characters would be something really cool. So that was part of my pitch packet as well. And then they didn't go for that one, but I was like, would you be cool if I shop this one around? We found some shops who were down for it, and we actually got the number 1 and number 5 out of that series.
Now, the George Perez homage cover, which is probably the first one that I ever noticed of yours, and I know that you use it in your backdrops and your advertisements, like when you're on at cons. I've seen it hanging up. It came out prior to George Perez's passing. Did he ever have a chance to see it or
No,
meet?
it actually came out after his passing.
Oh, did it? Did it?
Yeah, so he's been gone a little while now, sadly. And I don't think at the time Star Trek had ever really done anything as a tribute to him. So it was nice to kind of push that concept out
Yeah.
and make that happen. And a lot of people who had those early covers really, really got excited by that variant. And I've got a lot of pictures of people hanging up there, the original variant with the new one.
Yeah.
So I never had the pleasure, but I'm friendly with a lot of people who were in his network, and they all agree that it's something George probably would have really gotten a kick out of if he
It
were still
doesn't
with.
seem that long that he's been gone. I remember 2 weeks before he passed, I found a copy of Infinity Gauntlet and it was $20. And I'm like, all right, I better grab this. I knew he was ailing. I wasn't, and I didn't have a pristine copy, so I picked it up. I'm glad I did, but yeah, that's great. Now, with New York City Comic Con coming up, you had mentioned you have your variant. You say you're going to be at booth H7, so everybody that's watching. With New York City Comic Con coming up, which by the time this airs won't be too far off. I mean, a little bit closer. Do you have any, like, are you going to be opening up for trying to think of the right word. Are you going to be opening up for people to, commissions such as that?
Sure. Yeah, I'm always open for commissions, and I definitely have a list open for New York Comic Con. So anyone within the sound of my voice, either I'll have original Trek art on me, I'll have copies of both variants. I will be signing with IDW. They haven't announced their date just yet, but it's going to be earlier in the show. I think it might be the first day, but keep an eye out for that announcement. And yeah, if anyone is interested in track art, I've got some pieces in my book from my IDW samples. I think I still have I sold. I may have sold it, but I have my now prized possession. Because on the day I found out, I got my first Star Trek gig. I was at a convention and Jonathan Franks was there.
Oh.
So it felt so good that I saw Jonathan Franks didn't have a line. So I was like, oh, okay, let me just go talk to him. And he was very nice, very kind, and was able to in that moment, like I've been a huge fan for so long, and I've just I got my first gig doing something for Star Trek to, you know, be able to contribute to the franchise is huge. He was
Oh, that's
very kind.
great.
I showed him I had a print of the colored piece of the Riker album cover, and he got a kick out of it. And he goes, "Where do would you like me to sign?" So I kind of point at his crotchal area. And he goes, "Well, I don't want to sign on your art." And I was like, "Well, it's your crotch." And he sighs and he goes, "It is my crotch," and he signs it right in that area. So
I mean,
that was a fun
if anybody's going to sign there, it has to be him.
day. Yeah, absolutely. I love that he's back in a very prominent fixture in the franchise. Coming back as a director, he's delivered some of the best episodes that we've gotten over these new runs. Yeah, and he's just really looking like he's having a great time doing it.
And that's great too. There's been something really great that came out of Picard season three. Ever since that aired, Terry Metalis pulled off magic and he put magic back out there. I don't know how to put it. I'd like to see it come back. I'd like to see a little bit of that magic again. But I'm always happy with what we get. I have to ask on a personal note, are we going to get any more Pedestrian anytime soon?
We are working on it. I mean, as you probably know, comics has taken a fantastic hit. Like the basic foundations of comic book distribution have been disrupted in a way that, you know, few predicted it would be this bad, because not only has the, you know, Dime Distributors, for those who don't know, was for maybe close to 30 years, a monopoly in terms of you get a comic in a store, the publisher has to send it through Diamond. A couple years ago, a few other competitors popped up around the time of COVID, but eventually Diamond declared bankruptcy back in January. So now a lot of contracts have been tied up. They were trying to find a buyer. They eventually got a buyer. But now the issue that a lot of publishers are taking them to court about is the stock that Diamond kept in their warehouse was kept on consignment. So when they sold the book, they would send the money to the publisher. We have sold pretty much all copies of Pedestrian. We're essentially sold out in the Volume One trade paperback. They don't have it anymore. I think Amazon sold out. I've got probably 100 on me. Magma, I think, is sold out. So we sold all the books, but now Diamond is not giving us that money, but they're using that to pay off their debts through the bankruptcy. And so that was unexpected. We were in talks to do a second volume. Thankfully, you know, that first run of Pedestrian just missed that bullet. Like our last issue came out in December, and then the bubble burst in January. So we've been focusing on, you know, we're developing our second volume. We've got a clear idea of where we want to go. We've been sourcing covers. Now it's a matter of, you know, what Magma is going to be able to do to get out of this, because they were a smaller publisher anyway. And then this is just a major hit to have such, you know, a clear and concise victory of, you know, we were nominated for an Eisner, we're up for a Ringo Award. We've gotten lots of mentions on best of lists of last year. So this is a hot book. This is a viable property. And, you know, we should have seen a profit already from this. But because of how this is shaking out, we've essentially had to wait out this year. So everything I've been doing right now is covers and waiting for pedestrian to pop up, where we're developing our media pitch. So we're trying to focus on those things right now. And right now, with the Ring Awards coming up, where the nominations are open, so any, you know, people, any comic pros within the sound of my voice, if this is something you have room on your ballot for this year, definitely consider giving us a vote. It would definitely help get us through till next year, because hopefully once things quiet down, we can, you know, hopefully come back with a second volume and, you know, a second printing of the trade paperback. So we're in a great position to really come back into the marketplace aggressively.
It's definitely deserves it. I'd like to see you and Joey get all the awards, and you officially accomplished something that had never happened before. I was diligently watching the internet for the Eisner Awards to see the results, because I knew, you know, I seen the pictures. You guys were at the ceremony. I'm like, okay, I know it's happening. I know it's happening. I'm like, can I watch this? And I was like, where do I find this? And, you know, but unfortunately, it didn't go the way I wanted it to, or you, but...
I mean, I was talking to Jeff Lemire afterwards, and he was like, how you doing, buddy? I was like, probably the same as you are, because we were both up for it. Absolute Wonder Woman is a fantastic series, and even getting on that ballot is huge, because, you know, you have your judges who really go through everything that came out that year, and they select what they felt was the most worthy work of that year. So the fact that much thought and consideration goes into getting on the ballot is a huge accomplishment and a huge honor, because you know, those judges worked diligently to go through what was a stacked year of solid comic books. So every single book on there is worth picking up and checking out. But we also knew going in, we were up against a Batman book, a Wonder Woman book. Jeff Lemire was on there. Tony Fleeks is on there. These were huge, huge people and projects that... The fact we're even in there is humongous, because we were this indie book that was a sleeper hit of the summer that people, you know, discovered and really connected with in a way that people are still talking about. You're still recommending it to our friends. We have people showing up as the character to shows. So I don't think we truly understand how deeply this has resonated with people. But the fact that the awards are, you know, calling our name up there. And on the silver lining, you know, Amy Jo Johnson of the Power Rangers read our name out loud in front of Mixed Company. So that was a nice treat to walk away with.
That's a win right there. And not for nothing, but a lot of it came down to, and I don't know if you have a history or a background in publicizing or even promotion, but you promoted the pedestrian really well. Like the lead up to it, you kept teasing the signs, you would tease, you know, the crosswalks, and it was like, this has my attention, what's going on, you know? And then when, as the comic was being released, it was like, I need to know, you know? And obviously I made a point to get it, and, you know, like I had to ask my local shop, it's like, I need it. Well, what is that? You know, like, well, here, go get it, you know? But, so yeah. Well done all the way around.
I appreciate that. It's something that, you know, we had many years of grinding and build up to before it was even a book. We had, you know, back probably late 2019, we had this idea to join I, and then lockdown happened. So this was something we could spend a year focusing on in secret. This was a secret project we worked on for a year, pure creative vacuum. We didn't show it to anybody until we had maybe like two issues of content ready, and we showed it to some friends, and they're like, this is really good. So then we started shopping around. So we've had lots of time to really build up on this and build up assets and really understand what this is, and being able to, you know, shop this around at shows. We had like a short ash can of like the first six pages of the first scene where, you know, he disrupts a mugging and then chases the bad guy, and then red light, he can't cross the street, because of course he can't cross the street. He's
I love it when she's asking, what are you doing? Go get them.
Yeah, I've been doing a like a stage reading version of it, like at schools and conventions, and that moment is always a solid response. I had a woman fall out of her chair at a school I was reading it to. Like the teacher just fell out of her seat just at that moment. So like we knew we had that. So we had that moment in a book and we were selling it. We had a cover very similar to the cover you have in your hand. And this wasn't a hard sell. We just put it on the table and people would just come over like, what is this? And they would pick it up and like, this is stupid. And then they would flip through the scene and they go, oh, I get this. Let me know when this is a thing. So we gave copies to the shops we were friendly with. We built up a lot of goodwill before, we found the right publisher that believed in the project and wanted to put it out and invest in it. So, I mean, again, we're very thankful to all the shops who were down from the beginning, all the people who picked up the ash can, all the people who would not shut up about it to their shops. And yeah, I mean, it's really leveled us up in many ways of where we are in our career now, because now we're Eisner nominated creators, Orango nominated creators. Our name was up there with Batman and Wonder Woman, and it will always be up there with Batman and Wonder Woman for that year till the end of time. And we're
That's
very
great.
excited to do more and see where we go with this.
I'm definitely hoping for more. It's a wonderful property that definitely deserves a future and a continuation. And the whole diamond situation, I felt it on a customer level. There was so many things I had ordered that pull lists that had to be readjusted, or things. And I missed, I subscribed to the Quick Stop Comics, the Kevin Smith, and I missed issue two of volume, I think it was volume two, issue two, because of that. And now it's like, all right, I guess I gotta go to the Bay of V and pick it up. But it's frustrating. There's a lot of stuff that I missed out on, and I had to go back and get. Thankfully, though, my comic shop was really good with your work with the pedestrian. And then even when there was the little blurb in, what was it? There was oh my goodness, I'm drawing a blank. You guys were in a little can't think of his name, but
In the Chips Zdarsky newsletter.
yes, my local shop was kind enough to make sure that I got that, because I wanted to be pedestrian complete. And the thing was, and when Chip was doing Sex Criminals, I was always getting Sex Criminals, so it's like it kind of went hand in hand. Might as well have that in the collection as well.
Yeah, no, that we did that as an ad. I'm friendly with Adam Freeman, who has a firm that handles their advertising. And when they opened it up to advertisers, I was like, yeah, we're doing that. And so we figured, let's do it as like a newspaper style strip for this book and make it look like they asked us to do it. And I thought, you've got a bunch of people working on this for Chip Zdarsky's thing, but I miffed something on the specs. And Chip Zdarsky emailed me that. I was like, hey, your font's too small. Like, whoa, this was a Chip. I've been a big fan since your Applebee's comments, where for those who remember, he started his he first gained notoriety by writing these very long, extravagant responses to like Applebee's and chain restaurants on Facebook, where like they would advertise their promotion for their new app selections, and he would like write like a whole paragraph about how excited he was to get down and try this new promotion. And that's how I found out about him first before Sex Criminals. Like a buddy at work was like, have you seen these comments? I was like, oh, holy shit. The Applebee comic guy is writing comics now? That's
There you go.
fantastic. And he wrote back, still some of my finest work.
It's always great when you get a chance to speak with people that you admire, and then You said your font was too small, though. What was up with that? Because I don't remember there being an issue with the actual.
Well, no, he responded and he worked at it a couple times and we corrected the issue, but he was the one to reach out to me and correct it because he's actually the one putting it together,
Oh,
which
okay.
is think, oh, it's not, it can't be him, it is him. He is putting this out himself, which is amazing.
That is great. I was gonna say I've enjoyed them. I think it was last month's where it switched in it, and someone else took over for him. And it was very much tongue in cheek. Let's make fun of Chip, the whole issue.
Yeah,
But
it's great because the whole thing is it's the spirit of Wizard Comics. Of the,
Wizard.
I miss Wizard so much. There's a site where they kind of go through the history of Wizard Comics, and they just put out one of those like old Zero issues with a
Yeah.
partnership with the comic series Armored, and they ran a Kickstarter. So they put out like in addition to their series, they put out like a Wizard style number zero of it. In honor of and tribute to the old Wizard comics, which is absolutely fantastic. If you haven't read Armored, definitely worth picking up as well.
Get to that. Yeah, a Wizard and Toy Fair were like my jam. I never missed them, especially for the mail-ins and everything else, but
Yeah, I
yeah,
love
go
Toy
on.
Fair. I love especially what Nacelle's doing. They're kind of capturing that feeling I had when I would read those. Like Brian's doing a really great job, especially if we're talking about Star Trek, what he's doing with the Star Trek license, and their figures are unbelievable. I haven't had a chance to meet him yet. I saw him at the booth at San Diego, but he was shooting something, but I just love the stuff he's been doing, just the detail and the deep cuts of references he's doing with the accessories of these figures. Not only are these figures, like the deep cut things we've never been able to get, but also just like the little details of like there's a piece of art from that episode, or there's like a specific tool, or the Jericho figure with Picard's fish that he hated, which is so deep. And I love that they're bringing back Biker Mice from Mars.
Oh,
Everything
yeah.
that the company's doing is something that goes, yeah, I love that. I would need more of that.
The one thing, not to boost his ego, but he's really good at marketing as well. He's good at, customer relations and getting out there and talking to the people. And that, I think, is what really sets their brand differently than, let's say, other ones like Master Replicas. I like Master Replicas, but whoever's in charge there is absolutely terrible at whatever they're doing. And
Yeah, like
that's.
I don't know how to get those things. The price point is a mystery. You have to like investigate what the price point is when you're at San Diego. It's like, yeah, I how much money do I have to give you? I need this right now. No, we don't have it. I need this. I would give you $500 for this phaser right now, but I need it in my hand.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with Trek 7. It takes so long for it to develop, and that there's a little bit of a niche to it, where then you're also balancing between like doing like a mass market thing. So the only things that do come out are very high quality, like those like the Strange New Worlds boots. When those came out, I was on that immediately. I was at the store the first day as soon as they became available to retail, and then they did like an ankle boot as a follow-up, and I bought those immediately, and I wore those to my wedding
Well,
because I
I
thought,
remember you posting pictures from your wedding. I'll have to go back and scope out that picture.
yeah, if you look deeply, you'll see a little delta on my shoes.
I will be looking for that. I will that. And by the way, on a personal level, mazel tov on your upcoming edition.
Thank you. Yes, we have a small baby girl on the way in December, so I'm trying to catch up with all of my pending loose little projects before that happens, because I've been really hit touring a significant amount that we're going to have to pull back on that for a little bit and focus on home. But this is my third child and this is my wife's first, so our excitement levels are at different levels, where she's like very excited and I'm just like, here's what we got to worry about.
Yeah, I get it. I understand. We're gonna have to wrap up our time, but I want to give you a chance to tell everybody where they can find you and follow you at.
Yeah, I'm on the internet. Shomon Gorman Art is my website. I have a web shop on there. So any Star Trek issues I have available are up on there, easy to order. I'm on Instagram at Von Gorman Art. I'm on Blue Sky. I'm on the Twitter. I don't call it X, Elon. Facebook, and I'll be at Small Press Expo in September. I will be at New York Comic Con in October. I'll be at Baltimore Comic Con later in October, and this will probably be announced by the time this is out. But I'll be at GalaxyCon Milwaukee in November, and probably be doing more GalaxyCon shows coming up. So, if there's any ones that you might be going out, I might be maybe just doing those shows next year because they've made me a very generous offer to come out and help me out to get down there. So, I'm very excited to go check them out.
All right, sounds good. Well, I definitely appreciate your time and everything, all the information that you've given today. It's been wonderful. It's great to meet you, as it were, virtually, and I look forward to the future. Everybody get out there, get the pedestrian, get everything that Sean is doing, Joey Esposito as well. Joey's got a lot of things going on too. Go look him up. And yeah, I appreciate your time, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, live long and prosper, good sir.